button yet. They lose to UTEP.
I'm You're going to panic? Button. Yeah, I can see that.
So, Blue Tech Blue coming up next for Kevo, for Tabor. Great job as always, buddy. I'm Sean Fox. We'll be back same time tomorrow for another edition of The Sports Company presented by Bud Light.
The Sports Company with Sean Fox has been presented by Bud Light. Join the team every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. for The Sports Company on 97.7.
Work hard and play hard with a Kawasaki from McKinney's. Here's Richie McKinney.
The 2017 Mule 610 is built to get the tough jobs done. And right now, our best-selling side-by-side is $800 off. Then when the work is done, cut loose with the fun 2017 Kawasaki Terex. Take $1,500 off and dress it up in our accessories department. Come see us at McKinney's, your outdoor superstore in Ruston.
Kawasaki ATVs with engines of 90cc and above are recommended for use only by persons 16 years of age or older.
Fried pickles and fried mushrooms, onion rings, jalapenos too. Battered brown U.S. farm raised, crispy thin catfish fillets.
Voted best of the Delta, Catfish Charlie's is taking orders for our famous fried turkeys. Cajun fried and ready for your holiday table. Order yours and we'll have your Cajun fried turkey ready for an easy pickup at either location of Catfish Charlie's on Louisville Avenue near Office Depot or Catfish Charlie's North on Highway 165 North across from Brookshire's. Call 807-7070. That's 807-7070. Or pre-order your Cajun fried turkey online at catfishcharlies.biz.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodd, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined once again in studio by my co-host, Sutton Davison, Louisiana Tech. 48-23 losers Saturday afternoon at home inside the friendly confines of Joe Ie Stadium. Sutton, it was certainly tough to watch the Dawgs and Florida Atlantic. Your thoughts a little bit on that game before we get into a full recap in the next segment.
Yeah, it was me, you, and a couple of our friends out at the Joe on Saturday. Weak attendance once again from the Louisiana Tech. Can we call them faithful?
Well, we can call them faithful. We've seen it. I think it's kind of been a trend throughout the year. It seems like the attendance goes down throughout the year. But hopefully, I'm not going to say barring a miracle, but 2 weeks from now, Tech returns home for Senior Day, final home game of the season. Hopefully, they're playing for a bowl game that Saturday night.
Yeah, you got to hope that. I mean, this Saturday was, once again, another tough one to watch as a Tech fan and a Tech media member, but I mean the Joe was far from rocking, the offense was far from clicking, but really we controlled the clock, I mean the ball and the clock most of the game, weren't able to punch it in the red zone, and that's what ultimately led to a defeat for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, you look at what Tech did offensively. I think they had over 500 yards of total offense. I actually thought it was one of Jamar Smith's better games of the year. I saw he had 78 yards on the ground, another 326 through the air, two touchdowns, you know, over 400 yards of offense from your quarterback. Not a whole lot more you can ask for from him. I know he did miss a few throws, maybe a little antsy in the pocket, but I thought he played well.
Yeah, we knew this was going to be a tough one. Florida Atlantic's had maybe the best year in program history, the best year in program history under new stopgap head coach Lane Kiffin, 6-0.
Stopgap keyword.
Yeah, 6-0 in conference, 7-3 overall. They're looking to walk to the conference championship, and we knew they were going to be good. I know that you and I both thought possibly Tech might play up to the competition a little bit and give those guys a game, which, like you just mentioned, they didn't play bad on offense between the 20s. It was the red zone that killed the Bulldogs and ultimately led to a 20-point defeat that wasn't even that close.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to, you know, kind of pat myself on the back a little bit, I saw that I predicted last week Tech would lose 24-23. Nailed it. Dogs scored 23.
Yeah, I mean, that's about where they've been sitting all year, is that 23. Couple of late-game scrap-up touchdowns at the end to get the score a little closer than it probably should have been. But I think you nailed it when you said Jamar Smith at times looked as good as we've seen him look all season.
And I think you can see why Coach Holtz and his staff are really excited about him. The kid has talent. It's pretty apparent out there. It's just a matter of letting him settle down in the pocket and getting him some time to throw. When he has time to throw, I think he's going to be a great quarterback.
I know we're going to hit on that, recap a lot more of FAU game later in the show, but let's take a look around Conference USA, what else happened this week in the conference. North Texas goes and wins at UTEP 45-10. The Mean Green continue to roll. I think
they clinched the West Division of Conference USA with that victory as well.
For the first time ever. Yep. And UTEP continues to
spiral downhill.
Try for their 0-12 season. Middle Tennessee State 35, Charlotte 21. Southern Miss Golden Eagles go in and beat the Rice Owls 43-34. Marshall 30, Western Kentucky 23, in what is the battle of the teams that I feel like Tech's seen the most down the stretch in conference tournament, or excuse me, conference championship games. And the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers not having the season that we thought they would.
No, you look at them 5-5 overall, 3-3 in the Eastern Division. They've taken a step back, just as Tech has. A little surprising, I think it's
they graduated a couple of really key players.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you look at Nick Norris and Tywan Taylor at receiver. And then, you know, also losing their coach to Purdue. He's doing some good things at Purdue. And then Mike Sanford, the new head coach. It's just been tough treading for the Hilltoppers. I don't think it's something that I expect to continue. That's been a program that has really established themselves as a pretty good program in Conference USA, along with Louisiana Tech, but it's just one of those years where you take a step back, and so they should bounce back next year. Old Dominion is really the surprise of the weekend for me. You look at an Old Dominion Monarch squad that's 4-6 overall, 2-4, actually an identical record to Tech after a real good season a year ago. Upsets Florida International, perhaps the surprise of the league with what Butch Davis has done with the Golden Panthers, 37-30, and then UAB, the train keeps rolling. Bill Clark keeps winning.
Coach of the year?
Yep, absolutely. Conference USA Coach of the Year.
Have to.
Yeah, he probably should be National Coach of the Year at this point.
I don't know that there's another coach in the country that can do what he's done with the kind of 2 years that they've had, putting their program literally in the trash can.
Yeah,
it's and been him picking it back up and leading them to a really respectable year.
Well, 7-3, 5-2 in the league. That's as good as it gets. I mean, I don't think you could find another program. Granted, not too many programs drop the programs and bring them back, but he's done an exceptional job.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we're gonna continue to move around the Louisiana Tech sports table. I know Bulldog basketball got started up this week. The Duncan Dogs are back. Ben and I were in the house for the first two games of the season, and the Dogs are looking to keep that up-tempo, high-scoring, flying Duncan Dog offense that we're used to going. And it was apparent that that's the plan going forward this season in these first two games.
Yeah, you look at the first two games Tech's played, hosted UT Tyler Friday night. That was a 112-71 victory.
Most points scored in, I think, the last 14 years in Tech.
Yeah, pretty exceptional. Granted, weaker opponent, but bottom line is Tech came out, shot the ball really well. I think every player on the roster got a chance to play, so it was nice to see that. Last night, a little tighter than most expected. Tech pulls out a 96-95 win in overtime against a Southeast Missouri squad that I thought was a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a team that you hear much about, not a team. I think they're in the Ohio Valley, so not a conference that Tech looks at much, but I was impressed with the Red Hawks from Southeast Missouri State, and they gave Tech all they could handle, forced an overtime, and then Tech really put the foot on the gas in the overtime period.
Absolutely, and let's go to the Fairway Carts Hotline. We're joined by Kristen. How are you doing tonight, Kristen?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. What you got on your mind tonight?
You there, Kristen?
Well, tough time getting Kristen on the line. Give us a call back if you have something to say, Kristen. We'd love to hear from you. But, yeah, Duncan Dogs off to a great start. I think particularly early on, you and I have talked about it at length just amongst each other. The guard play, Daquan Bracey, Jalen Harris, Jacoby Boykins, Derek Jean. I think those four guys are going to give Tech a chance every night. Perhaps the best trio of guards in the conference, I'd say.
I was blown away at the way that those guys have progressed, even from last season. I know Daquan Bracey, we all know, was Conference USA Freshman of the Year last year, had an incredible year as a true freshman, and we were expecting big things. But, I mean, that guy's a star.
You look at the game last night against Southeast Missouri. That was a team that couldn't miss down the stretch. It gets to overtime. I think it was 77-77. He goes for five straight to start the period and then dishes for a dunk and takes up seven real quick. He's a star, like you said.
And he's not the only one. Jalen Harris,
Score the basketball.
Can absolutely score, maybe more so than anybody I've seen at Tech in the last 5 years, which is saying a lot because we've had some elite scorers on this team.
That's a great point. I was absolutely going to make. You look at the scores Tech's had, whether it's Eric McCree. I know Raheem Appleby was
Speedy
a scorer.
Smith.
Yeah, Appleby wasn't the greatest shooter, but McCree was a guy who could really fill it up. I think Harris is probably one of the best players Tech's had in probably 20 years.
And he's been overshadowed largely by guys like Jacoby Boykins and Eric McCree, you know, Conference USA Player of the Year type players. But I think now he really knows it's his team, it's his time. And
I think he's proven that.
Oh, and he's taking the reins, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. He gets to the rim, and also he can fill it up from outside as well.
Absolutely. And then you look over at the Lady Texters. They're off to a 2-0 start as well. Coach Brooke Storr and her husband, Scott. They're doing a great job with the Lady Texters. I know they finished fourth in the league a year ago. I think they were picked third preseason. They've started the year with a 64-53 victory over Grambling. And then on Sunday afternoon, they defeated LSUA 87-47.
Yeah, Kiere Anthony with a career-high 23 points in only 17 minutes of action. And they're looking like a much-improved squad in Brooke Storr's second full year. And I'm looking for big things from the Lady Texters.
I think I've seen they're out-rebounding their opponents by something like 20 rebounds a game. I know Brooke has to be proud of that, leading her alma mater.
Yeah, absolutely. Brooke Lassiter, as we know her, played that kind of basketball for Kim Mulkey, you know, when she was here. And it's exciting to see her take over this program, one that was largely in limbo a couple of years ago, you know, with Tyler Summitt leaving the way he did, leaving this program floundering a little bit. It's really fun to see Brooke Storr come in and take hold of this program, her and her husband, and really do good things and bring a lot of excitement back to Lady Texter basketball.
Yeah, it's just been two games for each squad, but I think it's safe to say that both teams are going to be really good. So if you have the opportunity to make it out to the Thomas Assembly Center, I definitely think it's worth the price of admission. Those two teams are playing really hard on both ends of the floor, and I think you're going to see both teams probably win 20-plus games. I know we'll talk a little bit about the Duncan Dogs later in the 6:45 segment after we preview a little bit of UTEP.
Yeah, I think it's still football season. People are definitely still in football mode. But like you said, come out to the Thomas Assembly Center. Don't wait until the dead of winter to come start watching some basketball. It's worth the price of admission now. And these are teams that people in Ruston can really be excited about.
Yeah, and I know we have, you know, coming up later in the show, we have some guests that we're really excited about. We'll speak with Alex Nicholas to preview UTEP from SB Nation. And tell our audience about our other guests at 7 o'clock. I know it's one you're really excited about.
Yeah, good friend of the show, Matt Nelson, former Louisiana Tech kicker. Matt was here, I think, from 2009 to 13, and was really one of those guys at this program leaned on. I think he's third all-time in scoring in Louisiana Tech history. So he's a guy that's proven his worth. And not only that, he's a good friend and one who definitely loves his Louisiana Tech Bulldogs and still lives in Ruston, West Monroe area, and follows them to this day.
Absolutely. So that'll be a fun interview with Matt. And one quick thing before we get to our first time out. If you haven't heard, the kickoff has been set for Tech UTSA. in the Joe on November the 25th. That's not this weekend, but next. That'll be senior day for the Dogs. Kickoff will be at 6:30 p.m. on ESPNU.
Yeah, and it's one of those games that, you know, it's tough because it's going to be right after Thanksgiving. Students will be on break. So we're really looking for folks to come out and support at the Joe, 6:30 on November the 25th against UTSA in what will be the last regular season game for Louisiana Tech, and one that could mean clinching a bowl berth.
Absolutely. So we're going to get to our first timeout. When we get back, we'll recap Florida Atlantic and Louisiana Tech, a game that Florida Atlantic was able to take from the Dogs 48-23. Thank you for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name. Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Florida Atlantic 48, Louisiana Tech 23 on Saturday in the Joe. Louisiana Tech falls on the year to 4-6. Two games remaining for the Dogs to become bowl eligible. We want to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments, join us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. You can text or call or join us on Instagram Live. And we'll take your questions there at Bleed Tech Blue. Ben, Florida Atlantic made the Dogs look like a 4-6 team on Saturday. I know you and I both had hopes that it might, you know, go differently than it did. The Dogs might play up to the competition, but ultimately we saw that Louisiana Tech just couldn't get it done in the red zone.
Yeah, Sutton, and when you look at this game, you look at Tech had 32 first downs, Florida Atlantic had 19, Tech had... This was kind of crazy to me, and I'm a stats guy. I'm a guy that loves stats, and Tech had 19 third downs in that game, converted only 7 of them. Florida Atlantic only had 7 third downs, converted 2 of them. Tech had 512 total yards, Florida Atlantic 415. You know, Tech dominated time of possession, nearly 40 minutes to 20 minutes. But as the old saying goes, stats are for losers. When you look at that first half, Tech gets into the red zone four times. I think they got into the, not only in the red zone, but inside the 10-yard line, and were unable to convert any of those drives into touchdowns. Three of them were resulted in Jonathan Barnes made field goals. I know he missed a little chippy as well that, you know, Bulldog fans aren't used to seeing him miss. But I think, from my point of view, the red zone struggles are what sum up this game.
Well, and you mentioned when, I mean, Jonathan Barnes has missed. I feel like when it rains, it pours with this team. And they're a team that rides high together and rides the lows together. And so I just feel like at that point in the game, confidence wasn't super high. You weren't wanting field goals. You needed touchdowns. You weren't able to get them. You know what? Jonathan Barnes is a guy that we've relied on for a long time, and we'll talk about him a little more later with Matt Nelson. But you mentioned the red zone offense. Tech arguably plays its best offensive game of the year between the 20s.
So. Yeah, I'd agree.
And still can't score in the red zone. This brings up an important question, Ben. This team has consistently shown the inability to score in the red zone, especially this week. What's the issue? Is it play calling? Is it personnel? I know we were at Skip's press conference today. He mentioned a little bit about this. What keeps this team from being able to score touchdowns and continue to have to settle for field goals?
Yeah, this exact question was posed to Skip. You know, I even asked him, do you feel like the red zone struggles have become mental at this point? And it was interesting to hear him say, you know, he thinks it's a combination of play calling. They're going to take a look at some of the personnel that are on the field. But basically, it boils down to a simple lack of execution. He talked about run play in particular to Cam McKnight. I think Cam McKnight was running off right tackle. And I'm not sure it was the guard or the tackle, but they just completely missed their block in the A-gap, and it results in a 5-yard loss. Well, when you're in the red zone and you can't block for the run game and you end up resulting in lost yardage plays, you get backed up to third and goal from the 10. Well, there's not that much room to throw. So it's difficult to throw down there, and Tech's inability to run the football when the opposing team, not only Florida Atlantic, but anybody, when they know Tech's running it, it's going to be difficult to have success, and Tech has struggled throughout the year, like, in a big way, and it's been tough to watch, to be quite honest.
And, I mean, that's not the only thing that Tech struggled with all year. I don't want to harp on the negative much, but this is a team that we've seen week in and week out fail miserably, really, to protect their quarterback, to give Jamar any sort of time to throw. I know that we've talked about this at length off air, but I honestly feel like this week we saw Jamar Smith on occasion have time to set his feet, go through his progression, take his time, find an open receiver, and when he does, he really throws a nice ball.
He throws a really good ball. It's why so many people were looking at that Arkansas game from a year ago and were so excited. When he has time to set his feet and throw balls, you just look at all the slant routes early in the game to Rasheed Bonnett. Adrian Hardy makes the one-handed catch, connecting with Teddy Veal. I think those three guys combined for 18 catches on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think Jamar Smith is a guy that you know, as he matures and as he grows and as he gets more and more playing time under his belt, will develop that confidence that it takes to stand in there and stand tall and maybe take a hit or two and still finish those progressions. I know that, you know, when I feel like pressure's on, I don't know that right now he's the guy that is able to wear that super well. But I know we talk about Arkansas last year at nauseam. I mean, he's a guy that came in, wasn't expecting to play that week, really didn't feel a lot of pressure, and went out there and just settled in and did his thing. Now that it's his team and his turn, it seems like he's wearing that pressure just a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at this week with Rasheed Bonnett, Teddy Veal, and Adrian Hardy, like I just mentioned, all healthy, that's, you know, what, maybe two games when all three of those guys have been healthy and playing a key role. I think that had something to do with why he played so well on Saturday. And you mentioned how Tech has had trouble protecting him in the pocket. You know, that hasn't resulted in a ton of sacks, but it has directly impacted ball games because he's having to constantly move out of the pocket, throw in the run, or tuck the ball away and run. And really, this game was no different. He had 17 carries. I would say maybe two were designed. So he was still running for his life at times, but I think he was a lot more comfortable. And hopefully, heading into El Paso this weekend against UTEP and then into UTSA the final week, he'll continue to get more and more comfortable and play better and better.
888-993-7762 is the number to call if you want to talk about this week's loss to Florida Atlantic, or if you want to look ahead for Louisiana Tech football or basketball. We want to hear from you. We want to take your call, take your question, and get this conversation going. Louisiana Tech falls to 4-6 on the year, like we mentioned. Going to need to win out. Going to need to win these last two in order to be bowl eligible.
And one thing else I want to point out, Coach Holtz talked about today, you know, all the red zone struggles in the first half, yet it's 20-9. You're heading into the half. Granted, Florida Atlantic gets the ball coming out of the break, but if you can get a stop, you have to feel pretty good about your chances. Problem is, Tech gives up a kickoff return for touchdown and then two bad punts off the foot of Brady Farlow. Next thing you know, it's 34-9 and the ball game's over.
Yeah, and Louisiana Tech has struggled out of the half all year long. That's something that's well documented. And so, I mean, once again, coming out with a tough break, kick return touchdown, the first ever in Florida Atlantic history. To set the pace for the second half.
So let's go to the Fairway Carts hotline. We're now joined by Marcel. How you doing tonight, Marcel?
I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. I've got two questions, actually, but they're basically tied into the same thing.
All right, let's hear them.
My question is this. Do you think it made a difference whether or not a quarterback was there this spring instead of on a baseball field, would have been there this spring, that we would have done better in the red zone this year? I mean, I know that's the time of year that you do work on a lot of fine things for that. And secondly, my question would be, if you're Skip Holtz, do you lay the law down for next year that, hey, if you're going to be our quarterback, we need you there all year? What do you think?
It's a good question, Marcel. It's one that's been posed throughout the year, and it's certainly a question that is worth mentioning. I think if Jamar is there throughout the spring, I know that he was there during spring practice, but there's something to be said being able to develop that camaraderie with each of your receivers, just playing a little backyard football, if you kind of get where I'm going. So, you know, that's a good question. I think that it could be said that he would be better off if he would have been there last spring, but at the end of the day, he wasn't. And hopefully, going forward, he will take a step off of the baseball field and come to football full-time. As of whether or not Skip Holtz will lay down the law and make him choose a side, that's to be determined. But I would certainly like to see him stick to football. I think he could really carve out a nice career here at Tech.
Well, and also
realistically, just one touchdown in, you know, any of the games, and instead of 4-6, you're maybe 8-2.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that's 7 points total away from being 8-2, like you mentioned. You know, and one thing that I think we've seen over the course of the season is that Jamar Smith is Skip Holtz's guy. I mean, there's no bones about it. If he was going to pull him and try plan B, it would have happened by now. I think Jamar Smith is the guy that Skip Holtz is gonna ride this thing out with, and rightfully so. I don't know that there's anyone else on this roster that would arguably be a better fit at the moment. And, you know, with Jamar Smith being a guy who's a redshirt sophomore, this is something that almost turns into an investment in the future, and it's one that, you know, Tech can look ahead to instead of necessarily thinking only about this season. This is going to be our guy for the next couple of years. And so,
And that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, Holtz has basically ordained him to be the quarterback for the next 2 years after this. I mean, wouldn't it seem that he would have a right to say, look, you know, hey, you're my guy, but I need you to be, you know, you need to be my guy too.
Yeah, and he definitely has that right. It's going to be an interesting offseason. I know things will be decided fairly quickly. If Tech does go to a bowl game, obviously Jamar will be with the team a little bit longer, but it'll be interesting to see what the choice that is made, and if he ends up going on the baseball field and playing baseball for his sophomore season over there. I think you could see maybe a little bit of a QB competition in the spring, but either way, I think you'll see Jamar continue to progress, not only this year, but like Sutton mentioned, he's an investment for the future, something that Tech hasn't seen in quite a while with a string of three straight fifth-year quarterbacks. So it'll be interesting, not only in the offseason, but to continue to see Jamar's growth.
Appreciate you guys taking my call. I know other people want to chime in. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Marcel.
Bye.
All right, Marcel.
And Sutton, real quick before we get to the break, I know we got to hit a break and get to Alex Nicholas to preview UTEP, but Tech's 4-6. Let's say they do get to 6-6. Roy Lang of the Shreveport Times wrote about the possibility of Tech ending up in the Independence Bowl. In your opinion, does that salvage the season?
I think it does. I think this is a season that's been a tough one as a Tech fan. I think we've seen that. The Tech fans are you know, they're not as satisfied as obviously they have been in the past. But 6-6, a bowl berth, keep the streak alive, something that this university is extremely proud of. And maybe even an Independence Bowl berth. Let's keep it local and get fans out to support this team in a bowl game. I know we'll touch on this a little later, but we're going to head to a break. Stay with us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. When we come back, we'll preview Louisiana Tech at UTEP, going for that fifth win of the season. Stay with us right here on Sports Talk 97.7.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, 699-9426, 699-9426.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Louisiana Tech getting set to travel to El Paso for their final road game of the season this weekend when they will take on UTEP, set for a 2 p.m. Central Time kickoff. We are now joined by the site manager of SBNationsMinorRush.com, Alex Nicholas. How are you doing tonight, Alex?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. Just to get into things, first things first, you look at UTEP, obviously they've struggled throughout the year. Winless on the season. I know they made a coaching change earlier in the year when Sean Kugler was let go from the program. Talk a little bit about the vibe around the program in such a tumultuous year.
Well, the vibe around the program from a fan standpoint is everybody's now a Texas high school football fan because the interest for UTEP is definitely at an all-time low since I've been covering UTEP and really since I've been a fan and a student at UTEP. And, you know, the vibe is right now is just kind of just get through the season. You know, you can just tell that at this point, I mean, the motivation in terms of, you know, pulling an upset on somebody as La Tech, as UAB, it's kind of not there as it's been in the past where UTEP will come into this game, let's just say a 3-9 record or a 3-8 record, whatever it may be. It's just very just a much different vibe coming in at 0-10. It just seems like there's really no hope. Everybody's looking for the future. I mean, we're at the press conference on Monday, and not a single person asked a question about Louisiana Tech. You know, they ask Mike Price questions about the future, and Mike Price will be somewhere on a beach or somewhere in a cabin somewhere drinking a, you know, a spiked coffee or something in a couple of weeks. So that's kind of the vibe right now. It's just nobody really knows the future of this program. So it's really unsettling, and it really has turned fans off. You know, it really has. So it's definitely an unsettling situation and an unfortunate situation. And Sean Cougar, a former UTEP guy that a lot of people rooted for, now, you know, UTEP faces, you know, we're the laughingstock of FBS at this point. So there's definitely not much cheer, you know, and hopefully the hope is that Tim Floyd can kind of bring a little bit of pride back here in the next couple of months once basketball starts.
And well, just to talk a little bit about the UTEP offense, they've struggled throughout the year, only scoring just over 11 points a game. I see that they've had three quarterbacks see time. Coach Holtz talked about it today. Usually it's a two-quarterback system, kind of guys with a mixture of talents. Talk a little bit about those three guys and who Tech fans should expect to see on Saturday.
I would expect to see Zach Greenlee. He's been kind of the quote-unquote favorite starter, if you will. You know, UTEP's been holding these open quarterback competitions, if you will, but Greenlee's kind of been a guy that really, I think he really was kind of someone that Mike Price liked when he came in here. And that's a guy that Mike Price has been leaning on. So Greenlee was a little bit beat up against North Texas. He missed some wide open throws. He's been really inconsistent pretty much, you know, since he's been here at UTEP. He was a really highly regarded transfer out of Fresno State, former four-star guy, former Elite 11 prospect coming out of high school out in California. So the expectations for Greenlee were very high, and he's been disappointing us. You know, to say the least. And the second guy that you might or might not see, and it looks like you probably won't see him, Ryan Metz. He was a starter coming into the season, took over over the latter part of last season, and really, really put a jolt into the UTEP offense toward the latter part of last season. And he was really, really there was hope for him around this offense with Brent Peace in the second year, but that really hasn't been a factor. He's been injured. He's been a victim of drops from his wide receivers. He's been a victim of really conservative play call. And Ryan Metz really is UTEP's best quarterback on the roster, but he's been banged up with that shoulder injury probably the last 4 or 5 weeks, so I would doubt you'd see him. And then the third-string quarterback, Mark Torres, a local kid out of El Paso Eastwood here in El Paso, put up some pretty gaudy numbers across his high school career and ranks up there amongst one of the state's top passers in high school football here. He's really, really green. He had a redshirt year last year, and he's coming in this year. And he's probably UTEP's most mobile quarterback. He's probably their most exciting quarterback in terms of just that playmaking ability. But the Division I game, the FBS game, if you will, is still kind of very, very fast for him. And you can tell that's kind of his issue right now. So UTEP's offensive problems really, really stem from the quarterback position, like you mentioned. And right now I would expect Zach Greenlee to be that guy to start Saturday against Tech.
Alex, this is a UTEP team that has had, you know, some success in the past. I know Mike Price, this is not his first stint as the Miners head coach back in 2003, was brought in. And in his first season, at one point, you guys were ranked as high as 23rd in the country and ended up at a bowl game. So this is a guy who's had some success at UTEP. And obviously we know where he's been from there, ended up at Alabama for a short time and then Washington State and now back at UTEP. Is this a guy that that fans, you know, want to lean on going forward, or is it kind of the old saying that a winless season is almost inexcusable? And do you bring him back and as a kind of a fan favorite from the past, or is this someone who you may have to move on from and start fresh?
Oh no, you won't see Mike Price will not be in the mix for the future head coaching job. And Bob Stoll made that clear, the outgoing athletic director, when he made the change, and also Mike Price made that very clear that he's not interested in coming back. Mike Price right now is basically, what a lot of people have been saying on message boards and across Twitter, Mike Price is basically a babysitter, and he's a mouthpiece for the media, and that's really what Mike Price is there. He has no say in the offense in terms of play calling, in terms of personnel. That's something that I actually learned last night. Of what exactly the duties that Mike Price has had over the past couple of weeks. And he's just basically trying to keep this ship together. And one main thing that he said on Monday, said that to me, is he's trying to help things, keep things from not splintering. So that's really Mike Price's job. UTEP is going to – I've already seen and heard that UTEP is – they have to hire an AD first, but UTEP wants to go in a total different direction from what the Sean Cougar era was the past 5 years. So Mike Price will not be a candidate. You won't hear his name pop up. You know, at all. He's just kind of sitting in there, and, you know, just found out he's making 40,000 for the 2 months that he's going to be there. So, you know, there's really no long-term commitment to Mike Price. He's just somebody that's sitting in, and I would expect UTEP, the name of candidates, legitimate candidates, to come out once UTEP has an AD in place, which should be in the next couple of weeks, as a matter of fact.
With looking, you know, a little bit deeper at the UTEP offense, how difficult has it been to replace Aaron Jones at running back now that he's off to the NFL and having some success with the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, you know, that's the question that I probably wrote and wrote and wrote, and some of my readers are probably annoyed of me writing that, but that was the biggest question. You know, UTEP, it was a run-heavy offense. We knew that the passing game was not going to be up to par, regardless of how many years the system was here, regardless if we had a returning quarterback coming back, such as Ryan Mensah, at the beginning of the season. Replacing that special guy like Aaron Jones, it was going to be tough, and it's been harder than expected. You know, UTEP really felt good about the pair of running backs that they had coming in Quadres Wadley and Kevin Dove, and both of them have really been disappointed. Wadley's been mildly disappointing due to injuries, and, you know, obviously that's not nobody's fault, but that's kind of where UTEP's problems have, you know, stemmed from offensively, is being able to run the football and get those 4 or 5 yards per rush, something that Aaron Jones did in his sleep. You know, you've already put up 100 yards on the board before, you know, a snap was snapped when Aaron Jones is wearing a UTEP uniform. But this year it's totally different. You know, UTEP has really struggled with finding an explosive back that can hit the hole, that has good vision, you know, and has that speed that Aaron Jones have. And UTEP just hasn't found anything close to that. Now, what they have found is a young freshman, a former three-star recruit, one of UTEP's highest recruits, that Sean Cooper was able to nab while he was the coach here at UTEP, and Josh Fields. And Fields had 87 yards rushing 2 weeks ago, had a quiet night last week. And that could be a guy that I can really see kind of taking that next step here later part in the season. But other than that, UTEP's run game has just been abysmal. And it really starts at the running back position, because if you really look at some of the adjusted line stats and all those advanced stats, UTEP's offensive line is pretty good, and you can watch film to prove that. But the running back position, just that inability, that the inexperience there in terms of speed, vision, and guys that can hit holes and hit those gaps in a pro-style offense between the tackles, that's something that UTEP has lacked, and that's the reason why they're averaging just a tick over 11 points per game.
Yeah, you mentioned that quality UTEP offensive line. I know Will Hernandez is expected to be a pretty high draft pick in the NFL. Just looking at the defensive side of things, you know, Alvin Jones is back at linebacker. I know this UTEP team was in a 14-7 ball game last year against Tech into the fourth quarter. Coach Holtz talked about the problems that UTEP can pose for a team defensively.
Yeah, and it really starts with their secondary. I mean, Alvin Jones, that linebacker, he's a big part of what UTEP wants to do in terms of pass rush. But one of the things that's really been overlooked with this 0-10 record and the ugly offense is actually how good UTEP's secondary has been when they're not playing somebody named Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield started 19-20 for 300 yards in the first half of the first game of the season. I'm thinking, wow, this UTEP team is going to struggle against the likes of Tech, you know, the likes of Southern Miss, you know, even to a point the likes of Western Kentucky. But since conference play has started, this UTEP secondary has been really, really good. And it starts with UTEP's corners, Kalon Beverly and Nick Needham. Nick Needham, in my opinion, you know, taking the Homer glasses off, looking at his stats and what he does, Nick Needham is deserving of some type of All-Conference USA honors. I thought he would nab that last year, and he really is a good cover corner. Also, UTEP's getting great production right now from Kahani Smith, a sophomore JUCO transfer. Had a fumble recover for a touchdown last week against North Texas, and he also has an interception for return against Army this season. He leads UTEP with 4 interceptions on the year. So that UTEP secondary is going to be really key in this game to being able to force mistakes and cover well. And that's what UTEP really does. They'll run a lot of zone fires. You won't see much man. You'll see a lot of safety help over the top, and you won't see those 2 corners like I mentioned on Island. And that's really helped this UTEP defense in terms of cutting down the big plays. I was kind of disappointed to see for the first time since that Oklahoma game last year that North Texas was able to expose UTEP deep, and that hasn't happened under Tom Mason over the past couple of seasons, you know, and that's really been UTEP's strength. Defensive line, that's something that UTEP's still working. They have some nice size up there, but that production isn't there. But if you're going to keep an eye and look at what could give Tech problems, it's going to be that UTEP secondary with the athleticism, the length, and the actual speed that UTEP surprisingly does have back there in their back 7.
Alex, this is a team that obviously the struggles are well documented, 0-10 on the year, but I'm looking at the schedule, and October 7th, you guys go to you bring Western Kentucky in to the Sun Bowl, and this is an offense in Western Kentucky that's been one of the premier offenses in Conference USA for, you know, a couple of years now, and you barely lose a game 15-14 to those guys, is that something that that breeds a little bit of confidence? And is this a team that is capable of surprising somebody, or is this a foregone conclusion that this is going to be an 0-12 or an 0-11 season?
I mean, in my opinion, I think it's, you know, I've been checked out a couple of weeks ago, so I'm already on the 0-12 wagon, I guess you could say. But with the way that you said the defense played that game, particularly that front seven and shutting down Western Kentucky's run game and forcing them to throw the ball over the top of the UTEP defense, which they didn't do, that's going to be UTEP's key to just hang in, is with their defense, being able to flip the field, being able to, you know, force three and outs, get some, you know, make mistakes, and that's really the only chance for these next two games that UTEP has offensively. I mean, I've been waiting all year for kind of that magic game where all of a sudden UTEP rushes for 250. You know, we're able to move the sticks on third down on offense, and that hasn't happened yet. So now looking into week 11 or we, you know, game 11, game 12, I just don't see that really happening at this point. Like I mentioned in the opening, the morale of this team is just kind of, let's get through the season, let's get to Christmas break, and we'll figure it out once we get back from Christmas break when our new head coach is. So, you know, in terms of motivation, I think that's something that's going to have to come from, let's just say, a strong start, you know, shutting out Tech in the first quarter, shutting out UAB in the first quarter, to give them some type of momentum to think, hey, we can stick in this game. Let's try to continue to pull it out for four quarters, but we just haven't seen that. And usually it's UTEP defense that'll have a great first half, and that UTEP offense hasn't scored a second-half touchdown since Brian Natkin took over early in the season, the offensive coordinator. So at this point, it's just really, really hard to see. It's really hard to predict and be confident about one of those scenarios where UTEP can magically pull off something. I just think that this team is just too far dug down, and these guys, I think, are just ready to get this Christmas break and get back with their families.
Alex, thanks so much, man. An amazing interview. I mean, you really know your stuff. MinorRush.com's SB Nation. Tell our people how they can follow you on social media, on the web, and we'll be glad to have you back next season.
Yeah, sure. Follow the Minor Rush Twitter at SBN Minor Rush on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/MinorRush, and you can find me on Twitter at NicholasAlex915 there. So appreciate the time, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks, man. And go have some sweet potato waffle fries and marshmallow dipping sauce for us over at Crave. We'll see you next time, and thanks for Alex for being on. When we come back, we're going to preview a little bit of UTEP, talk some Dunkin' Dog basketball, and then at 7 o'clock, Matt Nelson, former Louisiana Tech kicker, will be on with us. So stay locked here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen. Fan food, not fast food.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, and Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, here on Sports Talk 97.7. The Bulldog basketball season is underway. The Duncan Dogs have taken off for the year, 2-0 on the season under Coach Eric Conkle.
So, and I'll tell you one thing. I love college basketball, and there's nothing more than I like than Duncan Dog basketball inside the tack, watching a pressure defense with some high-flying athletes, and that's just what the Duncan Dogs have this year.
Absolutely. You look at game one of the season against UT Tyler, not a formidable opponent, but we'll call it a test, and just a feeling out of this team this year. And I think we saw exactly what I think we're going to see all season. The big three for Louisiana Tech, Jalen Harris, Jacoby Boykins, and Daquan Bracey, arguably the three best guards in the conference.
Here's a question I have for you. Obviously, those three are talented. You look at Tech's schedule. I think they can beat anybody on their schedule. The two tough tests out of conference will be on the road at Texas, playing Shaka Smart. He's going to pressure you for 40 minutes. But I would warn him before he pressures Day-Day Bracey for 40 minutes. And going to Tuscaloosa to take on Avery Johnson's Alabama Crimson Tide. Outside of those two, I have a hard time seeing Tech losing any out-of-conference games. But my question for you is, as Tech gets into conference play in early January and on through March, I know we had Coach Conkle on last week, and what's the biggest key for you outside of the guard play being consistent every night?
Well, I think it's got to be this team getting hot on the shooting front, at the right times. I think this is a team that we've seen shoot extremely well during the regular seasons and then get into that Conference USA tournament and just for some whatever reason can't get shots to fall. Maybe call it bad luck, call it, getting a little big for the britches, but this is a team that has players that can absolutely fill it up. You look at Jalen Harris, 25 points in the first game, 26 in the second, already just off to an incredible start this season. And then a guy like Jacoby Boykins, who's been so solid for so long here at Tech, one that we could see playing in the NBA or maybe the G League next season. And then a guy like Daquan Bracey, who came in, was a Conference USA Freshman of the Year in his first true freshman season and one that looks to be back better than ever. So I think this is a team that has the ability to score. It's just a matter of getting hot at the right times and really, getting into conference play and winning those tough games.
Well, when you play in a one-bid league, like you said, you have to get hot at the right time. You have to win 3 in 3 days. This year, the conference tournament will be held in Dallas. I know that's a place I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to try to make it over to Jerry World practice facility, but it looks like an awesome place for Conference USA to host their conference tournament, and hopefully it has good crowds and can continue to stay there. I know that's a lot easier drive for Tech fans for sure.
I'm just excited that UAB won't be playing to their home fans anymore. I know that that's been something that has been a buzzsaw for Louisiana Tech in the past. UAB's already a good team, one of the best in the conference, and for them to always get to play in the conference tournament on their home floor, that's just something that's hard to overcome as a visiting team. But, yeah, having that tournament in Frisco at Jerry World will be an incredible opportunity for Tech fans to travel down I-20 a short distance and watch the Dogs compete for a chance to play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and just looking at the rest of this roster, I think, it's going to be essential for Tech to rebound the basketball. Janai White, it's no secret, he's 7 foot inside. He's a premier shot blocker.
Not very thick.
Not exactly the thickest guy, and he's not going to give you a whole lot offensively, but one thing he has to bring every night is a high motor and ability to rebound the basketball.
And he's a guy that will record 6-7 blocks a game.
He can, yeah.
Going absolutely. Forward.
Yeah, he can definitely change the game on the defensive end. And him, along with Jalen Washington, who's now a junior, he's starting to mature a little bit. He's shooting the ball well from three. Oliver Powell's a young big man who saw minimal time a year ago. Anthony DeRuggi's a freshman out of the D.C. area. A
couple really quality young guys, too. Jacoby Pemberton, I know he was the Texas 5A State Player of the Year just
out
a couple years ago.
Absolutely.
And then also you got Xavier Criston, who's provided some quality minutes so far. Looks to be a guy that'll factor into the regular rotation.
Yeah, and you know, you got also you got Kyle McKinley, JUCO transfer, Harrison Curry, a JUCO transfer. Two guys that haven't seen a whole lot of playing time early on. I know Curry had his knee scoped 3 or 4 weeks ago, so
it's
nice
to see some size on that Tech bench, you know, for once.
Yeah, and they do have size, and so, but I think the biggest key is going to be with Janai being 6'7", McKinley not seeing a ton of time right now. Tech's not going to be very big down low. The guards are going to help rebound. I think last night Harris had 8 rebounds, Boykins had 7 rebounds. That might be something that has to happen on a regular basis because Tech's going to be smaller than a lot of teams, especially at the 4 spot with Jalen Washington being a smaller, as far as size, he's skinnier. He doesn't have a whole lot of weight on his body. So Tech's going to have to rebound the basketball. And on nights when shots aren't falling, like you mentioned, Jalen Harris can really fill it up, and he's going to have to get to the bucket.
I don't know if I've ever seen as good of a finisher as Daquan Bracey. I know Speedy Smith was a guy that could really get to the rim. Alex Hamilton, a guy that could really get to the rim. But Daquan Bracey, all 5'10" of him, is a finisher that reminds me of Kyrie Irving. I mean, he looks like Kyrie out there, the way he gets to the basket, and then the way some of those shots that you just for sure are not going to fall, the way they go in. He just has that intangible ability to get shots to fall. And then we saw the way he took over the overtime period that night. I know Tech fans are probably a little surprised that their team, you know, ended up in overtime against
that's a quality Southeast Missouri State.
Absolutely.
Team.
Not one that deserves
Denzel
to be.
Mahoney could really fill it up. I think I saw today he was the 8A State Player of the Year in Florida before getting hurt his senior year, and that's how he ended up at SEMO. So that kid's no slouch. That was a tough ball club. Rick Ray's done a nice job there in year three.
And there's a lot of talent in that you know, Southeast Missouri area.
That Midwest area, yeah.
I know the Porter
Wichita
brothers,
State.
Otto and Michael Porter. You know, Otto Porter's obviously enjoying a successful NBA career, and Michael Porter, the number one recruit in the country, coming out this year. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent in Southeast Missouri, and you could tell that this is not a team that was going to come in here and be walked on.
No, absolutely not. So, you know, going forward, Tech has Montana State on Saturday night.
That's lots of home games up front.
Yeah, it'll be the third of a 3-game homestand to start the year. That's a Montana State team that's in the Big Sky, competing for a spot in the NCAA tournament. It feels like year in and year out before the Dogs head to Cancun next Tuesday and Wednesday night for the Cancun Challenge, when they'll host George Mason. Tip-off set for 5 o'clock Central Time next Tuesday on CBS Sports Network. Just a little side note we'll mention again in the last segment. We won't have a show next week. We'll be off for Thanksgiving, so we'll try to put together a podcast next week. But, yeah, Tech set for a 5 o'clock tip-off against George Mason next Tuesday, and then next Wednesday they'll face either the winner or the loser of Evansville and Fresno State at either 5 or 8:30 Central Time tip-off. So, 3 quality opponents coming up for the Duncan Dogs.
Yeah, and then returning back to the TAC for a couple of really interesting matchups against Stephen F. Austin, what's become a perennial tournament team.
In early December,
Darling in the NCAA tournament. And then, obviously, always a great matchup against UL Lafayette. Glad to have them in the TAC, one that Tech fans I know will be passionate about.
Yeah, and when you look at the non-conference schedule at the beginning of the year, you think it's not particularly impressive, but then we see how good Southeast Missouri State. And I mean, you and I were listening on the way home from the game last night. Coach Conkle said that he was dying for his team to play in a tight game like that down the stretch into overtime just to get his guys some experience. So Southeast Missouri, Montana State, George Mason, they made a run at a Final Four 10, 12 years ago. Evansville, Fresno, Alabama, Texas. It's a quality non-conference schedule.
Yeah, I have a theory. I think that teams like the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the Kansas of the world, obviously the premier teams in college basketball, I feel like going through a year where you walk into every arena every night and you know you're going to win the game. I mean, you know that it's not going to be close. I feel like that doesn't do a great job of preparing teams for March when obviously the pressure's on, quality opponents, So I think you're right, and we talked about this last night. If you got to go to overtime with a Southeast Missouri State team to get a little experience in tight games, to see guys like Daquan Bracey step up when it counts, I think that that's nothing but good for this team, and I think that we'll be able to see a lot of those interesting matchups going forward.
And real quick, before we get to the break, Conference USA Player of the Year, Day-Day Bracey or Jalen Harris?
Oh, man, I would love to see either one of them. I think Jalen Harris is the guy that's going to really become Tech's go-to Alex Hamilton-type player. But Day-Day Bracey is a guy that will provide so much assurance at that point guard position going forward. It's really going to be fun to watch those guys feed off one another going forward. When we come back, we'll have Matt Nelson, former Louisiana Tech kicker, coming to talk a little bit about the Bulldog season, looking at FAU, previewing UTEP, just taking a look at the season as a whole. It'll be great to talk to him. You'll want to hear it. Stay locked here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Our Black Friday sales event is coming early and will last all month long for incredible model year-end savings at Brennan Dodge. You'll save $7,500 off MSRP on 17 Jeep Cherokee. Save $6,000 off MSRP on 17 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Save $13,000 off on 17 Ram 1500 Crew Bighorn 4x4. And save an incredible $14,000 on 17 Ram Crew Laramie 4x4. Don't miss the Black Friday sales event with our model year-end closeout pricing. They'll go fast, so hurry in to Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
First National Bank. The uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience, uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank, www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
It. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Our next guest, one I've been excited about all day, my good friend, I know a great friend of the show, former Louisiana Tech kicker, Matthew Nelson. Matt Nelson, welcome to the show. Glad you're here, man.
Thank you all for having me, and last time I was on this show was February 4th, 2009, after signing day. So it's been quite some time.
Well, we're glad to have you back. Before we get into some questions, I just want to let people know who we're talking to here. This is Matt Nelson, fourth all-time in Tech history in field goals made, fifth all-time in career field goal percentage, and third all-time in total points scored. So one of the great Louisiana Tech kickers in this program's history, one that I know we got to see firsthand. And actually, Matt's a great friend of each of ours. I know he and Ben used to live together. So really fun to have you on the show, brother. And we're going to get into some questions talking about this year's team and years in past. So I think I'm going to turn it over to your old roommate, well, BC.
Yeah, Matt, when you look at Louisiana Tech this year, obviously from your time at Tech, especially at the end, when y'all finished 9-3 and really the past 5 or 6 years at Tech, Tech's had some pretty successful seasons. Just your take on the tough 4-6 season that Tech has had thus far.
Yeah, you know, when I first came here, 4-6 was kind of what was expected. And then Dooley Lees and Dykes comes in, and you get some success there, and he leaves, and then really the cherry on top is Skip Holtz, what he's been able to do with this team to win three bowl games, to go to three consecutive bowl games. That's something this program's never been used to. And now the bar is set so high that when we go and have a 4-6 season, everybody kind of loses their mind a little bit. But it's not too distant past that was kind of the norm. And I think that obviously we deserve better as fans moving forward because of the expectations that he's set. But I think it's tough, but I think there's still a good chance to get to a fourth bowl game. So that's kind of where I stand on it.
Yeah, you mentioned the teams you played on from 2009 to 2012. I know you played under Derek Dooley before he left to be the head coach at the University of Tennessee, and then obviously Sonny Dykes, Tony Franklin, and that air raid offense came in and really lit up Ruston and had people really excited about Tech football for the first time in a long time. My question to you do you see any similarities between that team and the one you play on, or the one that we're looking at now, the teams you played on, whether it be a Dooley team that was a little more conservative and then a Dykes team that obviously pulled out all the stops, what similarities or differences do you see in Skip Holtz's team in 2017, and how can they build on what they've already established, you know, with a pretty young team, one that just graduated a bunch of guys to the NFL and obviously to graduation, but where does this team go from here? How do they get over the hump?
Yeah, definitely. I think the similarities and differences, I think there's really more differences from teams that I was on compared to this team. Skip's got definitely has a more balanced team from an offensive perspective. I think he's a little more conservative. I think all fans would agree that he's a little more conservative than Tony Franklin was. But the thing that he has that Sonny Dykes did not was we have some good defensive players. I'm not saying we didn't have good defensive players when we were there, but my senior year, we had the number one offense in the country and a dead last defense in the country. And yet we went 9-3. So I think there's definitely some differences from that perspective in saying, hey, we've got a team that can play a little bit of defense, can play a little bit of offense, but right now we're really not great at either.
Yeah, Matt. Speaking, you know, more so towards your direct position of being a kicker, we've all seen how Jonathan Barnes has been over the course of his career. He's been a great Tech kicker. I know you would agree with me when I say he's probably one of the best kickers Tech's ever had. Just from a kicker's perspective, when you miss a kick out there, what's the feeling like on the sideline, and how do you avoid thinking too much, and then on the opposite side of the spectrum, when you do hit a big kick, how do you keep from, you know, having too much confidence before your next kick?
Definitely. I think the biggest thing as a kicker is you've got to be really level-headed in a sense that you can never let yourself get too high or too low. You get too low, you'll never get out of a slump, and you get too high on yourself, you're gonna forget the little details that you need to do in kicking in terms of, did I take my steps correctly? Which that may seem like a mundane thing, but when you're so confident, you just get out there and rush through it. It's one of those things that can really mess you up. I think that it's similar for Dan, when you pitched, you go through a routine. The kicker does the same. When you get too confident, you kind of lose track of that routine.
Yeah, no, I mean, you talk about, you know, guys in the past that have been here and done it really well. I know you're one of those guys that we look back on as one of the premier kickers in Tech history, but this really has been a program that's kind of loosely been joked as Kicker U. I mean, you look at guys like Matt Stover, Chris Boniol, Josh Gobe. I mean, there's some Super Bowl rings in there. How do you, as a kicker yourself and now as a kicking instructor, look at guys like that, and how have guys at Louisiana Tech that have done it really well influenced you and your career, and now one that you obviously still are involved in with kickers as a coach?
Definitely. I think, the lineage of kickers played a huge part in my role in coming to Louisiana Tech out of high school. You look at names like at that time that were playing still, Matt Silver and Josh Scobie were still in the NFL when I was being recruited. And then you look at Chris Bonio, who I had a great relationship with as well. And you look at the numbers they put up in college, and you compare that to where Jonathan is today. You look at Scobie was a 71.4% field goal guy. or as of the last game, is 78% on all of his field goals made for his career. And so you put that to guys that are beloved at Tech, and it's pretty amazing to see kind of where he stands. And as far as my relationship goes, I try to play golf at least once a year with Josh. He's a great friend of mine. He reached out to me my freshman year after we played at Auburn, and we ended up meeting at a driving range, and just it was always great to be able to pick his brain. And then a guy that has really meant a lot to me is Matt Stover. He's had a huge impact on me from just a lot of different standpoints, not just kicking but life. He's recommended certain books that my wife and I read for parenting and how to get prepared for that. I mean, stuff like that, even praying with me over the phone over certain issues that happen in everyday life. I mean, just a great guy and a great influence that has had a lot of impact on my life.
And Matt, you mentioned, you know, all the former Tech kickers that obviously influenced you coming to Tech, and we hear so many times, not only you, but even current Tech players like Boston Scott. We heard it back in your day from Quentin Patton, Ryan Allen, just guys always talking about the brotherhood that surround a football team and how special the Ruston community really is. Talk a little bit about how it was for you coming from San Antonio, where you didn't know a whole lot of people in Ruston, to now you fast forward to today where you've started a family and decided to, you know, plant some roots in the Ruston-West Monroe area.
Definitely. No, I mean, this community is great. It's one that I've got family that come to every home game. And, I mean, my uncle was at the game recently, and he was telling me about his experience even at McDonald's in Ruston. And he walked in and, hey, how are you? You have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. He's like, I walked into a McDonald's in Austin. I'd never get that kind of reception. I mean, that just made me think that this person's having such a great day working at McDonald's, and I'm going to have a really good day as well. That's kind of the culture there. It really permeates the city, and you've got a lot of us that goes on, and it's great for the community. I think it's an awesome city to raise a family in. I think that the fans have been great. I had people when I wasn't able to go home for Easter or to be at home for Thanksgiving or things of that sort that reached out to me and said, hey, come over to our house and open the doors to me. And there's nothing like breaking bread with someone and really getting to know them and getting another heart. That's kind of the culture that Ruston has. It's very open arms, and it's been awesome. It's had a huge influence on my life, my wife's life, and hopefully will have a huge impact on my son's life.
All right, Nelly, a couple of fun questions for you before we let you go. Set the scene for me. I think 2000, maybe 2010, is this? It's at Boise State. You weigh about 135 pounds at the time, and you get the call from Coach Derek Dooley. We're going to kick an onside kick. I think we called it the bump. And really, all you did was bump it off the tee, wait for it to go 10 yards, and then you fell on your own onside kick. One of the moments I will never forget as a Tech fan. What was that like, and when are we going to see another bump here in Ruston?
Well, it was 2009 when it happened, and it was Boise came to Ruston. I think it was a Tuesday night, and they were the number 5 team in the country. It was the same game that Dennis Morris had an incredible catch over a guy, and unfortunately he beat me out on SportsCenter Top 10. I think I was number 3, and his catch was number 1. But no, it was awesome. It was a kick that I could never get right in practice, and I'd always kick it too far, and it wouldn't go 10 yards. And then for some reason, he just felt it and said, "Let's do it." And I did it. It went exactly 11 yards, and I fell on it and somehow held onto the ball, and we got it. Unfortunately, we went on to lose that game, but no, that was definitely a big highlight of my career, especially my freshman.
Well, one more thing. So I promised the boys I would do this. Me, Matt Nelson, Ben Carlisle, I know our other friend Beck Haynes, and a bunch of other great wrestling guys are in what we call the league, the greatest fantasy football league that this city has ever known. And I'm looking at the standings right now, and currently Ben and I are actually at the top of the standings in the league. I know Ben's got scored a couple less points than me, but we're sitting with the same record. Nelly, you've got a similar record at 6-4, but your team's looked a little iffy lately. It's been struggling. What's your plan to ascend back to the top of the league and take down Ben and I and make your third consecutive playoffs?
Well, I think the first thing is to go and do some surgery. The hospital visits that have occurred between Odell Beckham Jr. and Danny Woodhead. I've got to find a quarterback because I had Jameis Winston and Ben Roethlisberger who have not been the best fantasy quarterbacks this year. So looking to find a quarterback, and then I've got the same record as y'all. I'm tied for first, but I've probably got the worst 6-4 team you'll ever see. It's like a hospital there with all my injured players, but we'll see what happens. And at this point with our league, I'm just trying to not make the bottom half of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a place you don't want to be in the league. I know Beck Haynes knows a lot about that. When you lose in the league, it's not without consequence. I know Beck Haynes is still icing his feet, probably as we speak, from running a half marathon this weekend as a result of losing the league last year. Matt Nelson, always a pleasure. Great friend of the show. Love having you on. And, hey, tell our people how we can keep up with what you're doing with Husted Kicking and how kids in the Ruston, West Monroe area can really get plugged in with what you're doing, learning the techniques and the basics of kicking, and hopefully going on to be high school and college kickers just like you.
Definitely. So you can follow me on Twitter at MattNelsonHK, and then I'm on Facebook as well, and it's at Husted Kicking South. And so I was able to get involved with a good buddy of mine, Michael Husted, who kicked in the NFL for several years, and he asked me to kind of come on under him and coach with him on be the director of the South for that. So loving that, and we've got a lot of great guys that are up and coming, and hopefully we'll see them in the Joe kicking soon.
Matt Nelson, thanks so much. Great to have you on. We'll see you soon, brother.
All right, thank you all for having me.
Yeah, man. Hey, Matt Nelson, I want to say one more time, he's phenomenal, and he's really doing a really cool thing with Husted Kicking South.
Absolutely. I know he helps a lot of kids in the area.
And I'm telling you, there's been an incredible influx of kids from the Ruston and West Monroe area since Matt started what he's doing now. I know he used to call it Matt Nelson Kicking Academy. He's now underneath Michael Husted's umbrella, but he's doing incredible things for kids in this community on I-20 corridor. He holds camps at Ruston High School, West Monroe High School, even some in Shreveport. So
yeah, and even if you're out of state.
Absolutely.
I think most of his camps are on Sunday afternoon. So
if you're a parent with a kid who has any interest at all in being a kicker or a punter or a snapper, text the Fairway Cards hotline at 888-993-7762, and we will get you put in touch with Matt and what he's doing at Husted Kicking South. Always a pleasure to have him on. When we come back on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, we'll wrap this thing up. We'll preview UTEP. We'll take a few minutes to answer a couple of tough questions, and then we'll sign off for the week, and we'll enjoy a Thanksgiving break. Stay with us. Bleed Tech Blue Radio right here on Sports Talk 97.7.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Some fireworks, huh? You feel that? I guess not. Too late for him, I guess. If he'd lived through it, he could have been down off that backhoe by now, maybe thinking about a cold one after work. Too late for him.
But there's still time for you. Call 811 before you dig. Wait for the site to be marked. And always, always dig with care. LA One Call.
Our Black Friday sales event is coming early and will last all month long for incredible model year-end savings at Brennan Dodge.
17 Jeep Renegade is only $18,900. 17 Grand Caravan is only $19,900. 17 Challenger SXT is only $23,900. And save $10,000 on 17 Ram 2500 Crew Laramie 4x4. Don't miss the Black Friday sales event with our model year-end closeout pricing. They'll go fast, so hurry in to Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Speedy Oil Change and Tune-Up is committed to helping you preserve the life of your vehicle by offering the highest quality preventative maintenance services with tune-ups, headlamp restoration with lifetime warranty, power steering flush, plus Speedy's 17-point oil change. Have bumps in the road? Knocked your wheels out of alignment? Get your ride back on the straight and narrow at Speedy in Ruston, 315 North Service Road East, now offering alignment.
Speedy Oil Change and Tune-Up.
Time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back in for the final segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech will travel to El Paso this weekend to take on an 0-10 UTEP minor squad, one that Alex Nicholas from SB Nation's MinorRush.com told us, quite frankly, quite blatantly, they're downright terrible.
They've given up.
Yeah, they have. So just to get into a few things first, Sutton, I have a question for you. We've been Tech fans for quite some time. Looking back, let's say from a football perspective, who's your favorite player that you've seen dome the blue and red throughout your 26 illustrious years?
Well, we were talking about this during the break, and there's a lot of really strong candidates for me. I think as a kid, obviously I grew up and I loved what Troy Edwards was able to do at this school. I mean, he literally put this program on the map in the early or late 90s, early 2000s, and him and Tin Rattay were a dynamic duo. And then also he went on to play for my favorite team of all time, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he will always have a special place in my heart. But then coming up through high school and early part of college, obviously Philip Livis was a guy that was exciting to watch, being so small and just being as electric as he was. But when it comes down to it, I think my favorite Louisiana Tech Bulldog to watch is one that we saw pretty recently, one that was a pretty polarizing figure here in Ruston, was a guy known as the General, Quentin Patton. And I think Quentin's always been one of my favorites, but when I watched him do what he did against Texas A&M at Independence Stadium in 2012, I mean, that was a performance that I don't know.
For the ages.
Yeah, absolutely. By all around. I mean, you know, and obviously I can't forget about Colby Cameron, the California sunshine.
Well, and you talk about that performance against Texas A&M. You and I still joke to this day. I think Patton had like 22 catches in that game. We still joke to this day that Texas A&M cornerback Dustin Harris still has nightmares when he thinks about Quentin Patton.
Yeah, I would have never remembered Dustin Harris's name had it not been for how many times he got torched that night. And Quentin, I mean, made a mockery of him and the entire secondary at Texas A&M. So I'm going to go with Quentin Patton.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I'm from Dixie, Louisiana. Troy Edwards, his hometown's Dixie, Louisiana. He's my favorite Bulldog of all time. You just look at him, undersized, you know, he's a running back in high school, comes to Tech, plays receiver, obviously gets hooked up with probably the best quarterback in Tech history from a number standpoint in Tim Rattay, and just puts on a clinic before becoming a first-round pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Every week you just didn't know what Troy was going to do, but you knew whenever he had his hands on the ball, he had the ability to go the distance. And obviously, if you've been following Louisiana Tech football for any period of time, you'll never forget the 27 catches, 405 yards that he put up against Nebraska. That is probably the greatest receiver performance in the history of college football.
I just read that record has since been broken, but
really,
it is one of the greatest performances ever by any player in college football history.
Troy was special.
405 receiving yards in a single game against Nebraska.
He's a guy that we should try to get on the show soon.
Oh, we'll book it.
Yeah, we'll work on getting Troy on. I know a lot of you would like to hear from Troy, as he had such a dynamic career for Louisiana Tech.
All right, moving into another really interesting question. I kind of like how our last segment has become like hot questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's mine for you. What will we see first? Louisiana Tech football win a conference championship game, because we've won conference championship regular season awards, but we've never won the conference championship game. Will we see Louisiana Tech win a conference championship game, or will we see the Dunkin' Dogs make an NCAA tournament? Which will happen first, Ben Carlisle?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Dunkin' Dogs haven't been to the NCAA tournament since 1991. I know Mike White. I got him close a couple of times. I'm really satisfied with what Coach Conkle has done in his first 2 years in Ruston and into his third year this year. Coach Holtz has done an exceptional job in his first 4 years, well, 5 years now, two conference championship appearances, both pretty close losses at Marshall, at Western Kentucky. I like the direction that both programs are trending towards. I feel like they're being built on the right grounds. This is a tough one for me. I'm going to say the Dunkin' Dogs. I think the Dunkin' Dogs win a conference championship and make it to the NCAA tournament. If not this year, definitely next year.
As far as mid-majors go, Conference USA is really one of the best. I mean, not being biased, one of the best.
I think it's a quality
college basketball mid-major
league.
Conferences at the top.
It's easy to, it's easy to say that the bottom of the league is terrible. It is terrible, but the top,
that's every league.
Yeah, the top 8 or 9 in Conference USA are quality basketball programs that are continuing to get better and better.
I would love nothing. I mean, we talked about how much we love March Madness, and it would be so fun as a Tech fan and supporter to have the Dogs on a bracket that you could pick in a first-round game.
Oh, I'd take him to the Final Four.
Absolutely you would. I mean, you are a homer through and through, and I love you for that.
Yeah, I am a homer.
But I just think it's going to be so tough for that team to win 3 games in 3 days. We've talked about it all the time. I would love nothing more. So for the sake of being devil's advocate, I'm going to take the Dogs winning a Conference USA football championship
game. We'd love
game.
To see both of them.
Absolutely. I mean, and I honestly don't think that we're that far off from either one. This could be the year for the Dunkin' Dogs.
Yep. Let's hit one final question, then we'll get to our prediction, and we got to get out of here.
We talked about this earlier. Roy Lang from the Shreveport Times mentioned that if Tech were to get to 6 wins, the Independence Bowl would offer them a spot in the Independence Bowl to play in Shreveport on December the 27th. Here's my two questions. One, is that something that you'll be satisfied with as a result of this season? And two, who would you like to see Tech play in the Independence Bowl? I know the SEC is probably not going to have a representative with how many people they've had in jumping into the college football playoff this year. They could have as many as 3 teams in the college football playoff with Bama, Auburn, and Georgia. So there may not be an eligible SEC team. So you look at teams outside of that conference and some quality ones at that. Who would you like to see Tech play if they were to make it to 6 wins?
Ask me before the season. I want to say it's disappointing Tech finishes 6-6. At this point, I would love to go to the Eye Bowl. My ideal opponent, they only have 3 wins right now, but three games to go. Give me Jimbo Fisher and the Florida State Seminoles, and Independence Stadium will have 45,000, and the Dogs will upset Jimbo Fisher before he heads to Texas A&M.
I'm not kidding when I say this. If that were to happen, that would be one of the greatest ways to cap off a 6-6 season that I can think of. I mean, finishing 6-6 is not ideal, but playing essentially a home game against Florida State would be incredible. And if people didn't go to that game, I don't know that I'd ever be able to recover faith in Louisiana Tech fans.
All right, real quick, before we get out of here, UTEP, Louisiana Tech, Saturday afternoon. Who you got? What's the score?
You know what? This is a tough pick, but I'm going to go with the Dogs. You can call me a homer against the 0-10 UTEP Miners. I'm going to go with the Dogs, and I'm going to say 35-10 because the UTEP Miners are averaging about 11 points a game.
Who you got, Tapes?
I got the Dogs. I was thinking 34-13.
I'm going to go with the Dogs, 27-10. A game
that stingy UTEP defense.
Yeah, a little closer, but the Tech offense plays well throughout.
It'll be good to get some confidence.
As we mentioned earlier, we're off next week. We'll try to put together a short little podcast to preview the final home game and recap UTEP, but we thank you for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. For Sutton Davis and our producer, John Tabor, you've been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
See you next time.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister's Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
It was really rough, Tom, to watch all of the executives speak on behalf of Roy Halladay.